Well, good morning. He didn't say much about who was speaking because it's my first time on a Sunday morning. And y'all got the privilege of listening to me. I'm sorry in advance. No, I don't apologize. You know, when he asked me, he said, "You're going to speak Sunday morning, right?" I said, "What?" "So that's not my job." He said, "Well, it is this time." "What? No, 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 no. It's not me. I sing pretty. I orchestrate a lot of other stuff behind the scenes, you know, when Sister Marla and I are getting together and rolling ideas around to figure out this weekend and everything else. And, I just count it a privilege to be the voice this morning. You know, God has many purposes for us in this life, but most of all, just to serve Him and be willing. And I'm thankful that I get to speak here. Y'all mean so much to us. You know, He said, show your appreciation of DHM. Clap for you. Clapping doesn't do enough. Y'all mean so much more to us than that. It's like He said last night, we make the effort. Everybody wants to come. The ministry team, everybody that's been there, they want to come and be a part. And it can be overwhelming at times. We started doing the numbers. We have 8 children with us. They're almost outnumbering us. And it's a blessing. But as I started to study for this message this morning, God was starting to speak to my heart. I'd been studying in the Old Testament and kind of walking through slow paces. I don't like running through things. I want to get the meat out of it. If I'm going to sit there and eat it, I want the good stuff. And I was reading in Chronicles, and if any of you have taken the time to read through Chronicles, it's the good king and the bad king and the good king and the bad king and the bad king and the bad king and the good king. And like, why is this circle of just ridiculousness keep going on? And I ended up in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you go there this morning. And with that, if you bow your heads with me as you're preparing. Heavenly Father, we just praise You and we thank You for this time this morning. God, as we open Your word, God, we just ask You to just come down and speak to us through this word. Father, that You would anoint my lips to speak the truth, Lord, and that You would just allow each and every one to hear, Lord, and to put it into application into their lives. And Father God, we just give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, how many of us face battles and situations that tend to overwhelm us? I got some big eyes out there looking at me. Uh-huh. Some of you with youngsters, Tiffany, she's like, yeah. we have no solutions. You can't fix the screaming kid. They're just driving me crazy, you know. And different situations that you can't control. Like last night, when you got the phone call in the middle of service, the baby had fallen and she gotten cut real bad. And we had nothing left to turn to but God. Yes, we can go to the doctor, but Daddy God is the one that does the best. And at that point, we could have chosen to sit there and worry and wait and just, oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Or we can decide to change and take action and pray. Trust Him with it. In verse 1 and 2, the warning goes out. And it says here, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and them and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi, or also in an oasis in the wilderness. Jehoshaphat, as the king of the area at that point, he hears this message come out. He's responsible for this land. And he's got 3 or more armies coming at him, ready for battle. And he didn't do anything wrong. Their kingdom had been in peace. They had been just doing what God had called them to do and worshiping Him and doing the right things. And Many times we tend to do that too. We're living life, we're praising God, we're working, following His leading and doing the right things. And something happens. Attack comes. And it takes us by surprise. Knocks you to your knees. And you wonder, what am I going to do? How am I going to approach this? It's too much. And you start letting the problems overwhelm your mind, and you're just drugged down in the mire and the mud, and you can't think straight. You go to work, and your mind is cluttered and clouded by the things that are going on at home or whatever situation it might be. And you go to the Word. And it said here in verse 3, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." The fear was struck in Jehoshaphat, and he turns to seek the Lord. He set a fast for the entire countryside, and they came to that city. They came to Jerusalem to seek God in that situation that was coming about that none of them had the solution for. They weren't preparing for battle. They were preparing their hearts just to worship Him and take care of God's providence. It says in verse 12, but before that, Remember, it's my first time. Yeah. Amen. Verse 3. And verse 4 says, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." And verse 5, it says, "Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new courts." So they're all have arrived. They've all come to seek God's help. They've come to the place they know is their place of salvation, their place of rest, that they can get answers. And he begins to pray. And he begins to remind God of the promises that he'd given Abraham and all of the fathers before. And as they are praying, and he's reminding God of all these things, it comes into place, and he's in verse 12, it says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They didn't just stop for a moment. Their whole countryside was in jeopardy. You imagine in the wars that we have today, we can send F-16 fighter planes, and they can send out one or two people, and they can drop bombs and deal with mass destruction in a moment. But they didn't have that back then. It was man on foot, man on horse. And they took fear because there were so many coming at them from all directions. They were coming to destroy them. They'd heard about these armies coming at them. And the devil comes and starts to breathe fear into your life and lead you into wondering, well, what's left for me? How can I deal with this? And they were seeking God. They found where they needed to go. And it seems, as you read there, it's just said in verse 13, said they, their wives and their children, all their little ones, everyone dropped everything that they were doing. The crisis was so great, they dropped everything, their jobs, they stopped what they were doing, they went and they fasted and they prayed to seek out what they would do to survive this, what they had to do, because they certainly didn't have the forces to reckon with what was coming at them. In verse 14, it says, "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The word was spoken. They had set their feet in order to hear from God. In that situation that was so great and so overwhelming, they sought God, and he answers with a word. Verse 16, it says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And it says here in verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They praised God before they'd ever even gone into battle. They got the answer before they'd even left. And they gave him praise. They'd already overcome it because he'd spoken it into existence. But now they had to follow through. Much like what we do, God speaks an answer into our lives when we start to seek him with everything in us. When times are so great, Matthew spoke about his transition, moving to Iowa City and being just struggling with jobs and struggling trying to find where he was supposed to be. And he set his foot and he said, I'm going to get an answer. You got the answer and then you went. It took a little bit of time to build up the faith and see it through, but he stayed with it and he followed God's voice. Verse 20, it says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. It wasn't, we win. God said it, it's over. He said, his mercy endureth forever. They were receiving his mercy in the battle that they were facing. They didn't know what was going to happen, only what they'd heard spoken. They knew God was with them. Verse 22, it says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten or defeated. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. Did you hear that? Two of the armies destroyed one. Just wiped them out. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Not one. Not one. Never heard of Jerusalem being called to lift your blades and swords and get at it. They stood and watched. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoils. It was so much. Many times we go into battle or struggle in life, and we face things, and we're so burdened down. We got so much going on. And we can't see the benefit of going through the battle. The benefit, first of all, is to build your faith. Mike's preached before. It's one of the sermons I enjoy the most. Faith is like a muscle. It must be worked to get stronger. It must be worked to grow, just like your own muscles. They knew how to have faith. They went and found God. They stopped everything they were doing. You stop everything you're doing and seek God. He brings the answer. You follow through. He didn't ask you to fight. He didn't ask them to fight. He asked them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See God work it out for you. And you read in just what I wrote in verse 25. The riches on the dead bodies and the precious jewels took them 3 days to collect. Can you imagine that much stuff to try and carry away? How much more in the spiritual battle that you and I face is the beauty of blessing when you go through it and you find the gem because you found the truth. I tend to wonder, these armies that were coming to fight against them, they were proud. Your enemies come well-educated and well-equipped. The devil knows who you are, especially when you say, I'm a child of God. You're on his map. He's hunting you down. And he studies us. God knows us, but the devil studies us, trying to find every little whim he can get. It said on verse 26, and on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Literally meant the Valley of Blessing. The place where we go. A lot of times we refer to the valley as a place of rest. And I never understood that as a child. Valley of rest, you think valley, oh, it's so low. You know, I sing the song, so low, you can't get over it. Or maybe that's a mountain, I don't know. The valley of blessing. These struggles we go through are meant test us and to try us, to make us who God's called us to be. And in that we become conquerors in faith. And we don't fight against this physical man. Though it seems that's the battle we face. We go to work, we got to deal with stubborn people or people that are stuck on the stupid. You know who they are. You know. I myself, when I go to work, there's some days you just grit your teeth. Yep, Brother Curtis has got it. Got to take it to work. And I sit oftentimes and I wonder, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me here? What's the blessing in this? Because it seems like it's not a blessing when you're struggling through that stuff. It seems like everything is, oh, here comes the next battle. Oh, great. No. Face battle with joy. Face battle with joy, because what are you going to get out of this? All right, God. I'm going in. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm trusting you. But I know in the end of it, there's beauty to behold beyond your wildest imagination, beyond what you can even understand or comprehend. And it may take you years from one situation. Going through it, it may take you years to realize the beauty that came out of that if you trust God long enough. It says here in verse 27, then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. In verse 28 it says, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets under the house of the Lord. They came with joy, but they praised first before they ever went into battle. They prayed, they praised, they received his word, and they followed through. Much the same as what we need to do when we're faced with those situations. We need to stop everything we're doing. Pray. Sometimes you have to remind yourself of what God's given promises to you about. He's spoken vision into your life for things to come later on, and you've seen it. Some of you have seen it. But it hasn't come yet to pass because you haven't faced that specific valley of blessing yet. Most blessings come out of trials. God will bring blessing without trials, but most blessings seem to come through trials. That means it's working out your faith. And not because you couldn't have the blessing before. It's because you couldn't see it until you could admire the beauty from going through that struggle. And it says here in verse 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Those that were meant for damage to happen to you. Some folks come against us, speak things out of line, total lies, and it cuts us to the quick. And it's a lie. We know it's a lie, but it cuts us to the quick. The beauty is in forgiving them and moving on, because it teaches you how to trust God and know that even when Christ was crucified on that cross, he was lied on. They had said all manner of evil against him. And yet he was still the victor over everything. He had to be crucified. He had to go through that battle, that spiritual and physical struggle, in order for life to happen the way it is. And for us to gain eternal life, the real beauty of life. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Mark it down. There will be battles. There will be wars where battle after battle after battle comes in the same situations, and it seems like it doesn't end. It just keeps rolling over and rolling over, much like in Chronicles earlier, whether you got kings that serve God and kings that don't serve God, and they let them worship all kinds of manner of evil, and then there are other ones that come in and clean it up. Our life is like that. We have to learn how to trust God, learn how to seek his face in the situations to overcome. It's time to set ourselves apart and become the body of Christ, who we're meant to be, overcomers and conquerors with God. Amen. I don't know what you've been going through, church. I know my own struggles in life. Many of you don't know, my mother broke her ankle this week very badly. And my heart strained towards that. I want to go home and just help. But God said, I got it. Just trust me. Sister Kathy and I were talking about that this morning. So we got up. And talking about my oldest brother called yesterday with car problems. Anybody have car problems from time to time? Yeah, we tend to help sometimes if we can. And he was getting some advice from Mike. And he just wanted help. But God says, I've got it. No need for you to take care of it. I got it. Their baby girl, they just had our little niece, Caroline, was born 2 months ago. She's got two hernias. It's not dangerous, you know, they just got to keep an eye on it. But that bothers me, you know, because babies at that age, it's kind of important to take care of situations. And the little things in my life, that's what I struggle with sometimes. God says, I've got it. As Mike spoke last night, sometimes people come to you in your dreams and you see they're struggling, or they're laid on your heart and you got to pray. They need answers. You may not know what the answers are that they need, but you know the one that holds them. And he will answer. If we sit down and take enough time with God, study his word so we understand how those things come about, and so that we can see it clearly for the blessing that comes out of it. With that, if there are those in this congregation this morning that are struggling with battles, your mind's been overwhelmed, and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to get through this tomorrow or this week or next month? If you're struggling with that this morning, I ask you to remember to pray first. Don't worry, because worry gets you nowhere but exhausting you further. And the devil can just keep kicking you around, rolling you in the dust, and confusing you and just wearing you out. Stop and pray. You have to make that action happen in order for something to come a blessing. As God says, he will answer those who call on his name if you but trust him. If you bow your heads with me this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. Father, as you've spoken into our lives this morning, how to overcome the situations in our life, Lord, and in our spiritual life. Lord, I ask that you would just reach down right now in this your congregation. Father, I ask that you would just minister right now to those that they know where they're at. Father, you know the situation. And Lord, we lift them up right now in prayer to you as they admit to you what their needs are. Father, we ask right now that your spirit would just come down and manifest in those situations. Lord, that you begin to pour out your spirit. Lord, you pour out your anointing on those situations. Father, that answers come. And Lord, that they learn to trust you with those answers, Lord, and to see it through to completion. God, we ask right now that you would cause the blessing to come, Lord, even in this valley. Lord, that they see the promise ahead, Lord, of greatness, Lord, of eternal life with you. Father, this struggle is just merely a battle, God, but it's for the greatness of your kingdom, Lord, that we can overcome. For the children in this church, Lord, in this community, God, that we begin to teach them, Lord, how to seek your face. God, even now, we know the struggles are coming greater and greater upon this nation, Lord, upon our children and the generations to come. God, we just plant our feet right now and pray. God, we ask that you would just come and use this place, your vessel. God, to speak here, to reach in, Lord, and shake the foundations of this nation. Lord, even from right here in Keokuk, Iowa, in Church of New Beginnings, God, that you would speak your word and speak it true. And Lord, that you would bring the blessing, Lord, through trusting you. Father, we believe in your word, Lord, and we believe in you and the cross, Lord, that you had to suffer through. Father, we thank you for salvation. And Lord, we just ask right now, in the heavenly name of Jesus, God, that you would just bring peace to those situations. Lord, bring peace to our minds. Lord, that you would be able to move and have your will and your way. In the heavenly name of Jesus.